Good evening or good morning, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service, the 6th of June, 2018. Already the middle of 2018. It's quite amazing. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. Glad to have you with us as well. Our opening song is The Crimson Wave. Oh, now I see the crimson wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. The cleansing stream I plunge and oh, it cleanses me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanses me, it cleanses.
I see the dear Redeemer raised, I hear the speaking blood. It seals my spirit, is amazed, and quickened by its flood. The cleansing stream I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me.
I raise to walk in God's own light above the world and sin. With heart renewed and garments white and the Christ enthroned within. The cleansing stream I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanses me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanses me, it cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. Though our sins be as scarlet, through the cleansing blood they shall be made as white as snow. And indeed, thank you, dear Savior, for making that possible. It's time for opening prayer, and who here would like to offer that prayer?
Loving Father in heaven, thank you for granting us another day on this planet, because it means we're one day closer to getting off it, one day close to looking more like Jesus because of the cleansing power that's provided through his blood that sanctifies us as well as rids us of sin. Thank you for making this a living reality and taking care of us in private particulars and public ones. We appreciate what you're doing for us and for the world at large in not withholding one iota of truth, but lightening it up, allowing technologies, though they can be used for evil, are being used for good in spreading the light of thy word and all the present truth to prepare a people to stand in the last great conflict with Satan, which we dare not do alone. We pray, Jesus, you'll preside in our midst when we come and open the Bible this morning, or night time as it is in other parts of the world, and that you'll add light to our experience and our understanding, and remove darkness in all areas that there may be in our understanding and experience. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would abide in our minds and hearts, teaching us advanced godliness. Those eight steps spoken of by Peter, the latter, in his epistle. Also want to uphold Sister Lucy and any other brothers and sisters trying to get online, that they, you'll give them patience and perseverance if they're just being kicked out once or twice. Please help those of us that are online to stay online as well, who are already in the room. And other brothers and sisters that are using social media to communicate their faith and to even fellowship and worship in spirit and truth. Because we know this is very important for perfecting holiness and the fear of God, and to neglect the assembling and gathering together as the manner of some was in Paul the Apostle's day. It's no less now, and we know that we've been warned that it's 10 times the amount of temptation that's coming upon the children of men today than it was back then. Thank you that where sin and temptation does abound, grace does much more abound. We also want to uphold Lely in her sickness, continue to convict her that time is short, and it's her privilege of not fearing you in being scared out of her mind, nor acting as if you don't exist, but that you would keep away from her the thoughts, the very presentations that Satan has been so successful at palming off to this world in various forms, and blaming you for the very attributes of himself. Also uphold Sister Joan. I don't know how she's going right now, but I know that she had a flu in the past, and it's no fun being sick. And please help her and anyone else that might be suffering at this point in time for those natural remedies to do their work, because we trust in you as the author of them. So thank you for being in the midst of us and guiding us now. In Jesus' name we ask and pray and thank. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. And enjoy that rain. I hear it in the background. So welcome again, one and all, and to those newly come in. Glad to have you with us tonight. And we're in chapter 13 of our study book of Acts, right at verse 1. And we left off last time with Barnabas and Saul being returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And as they're continuing on in their mission work, this time they're in a company with John, whose surname was Mark. So he's going along with them. And if I'm not mistaken, John, Mark, was a relative of Barnabas. So now the three of them are continuing in the ministry, and so now we pick it up at chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, what's interesting here, it doesn't say that God the Father said, and neither does it say that Jesus Christ said. It says that the Holy Ghost said, which means the Holy Ghost can speak. And the Holy Ghost then said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Not God has called them, not Jesus has called them, but I, the Holy Ghost, have called them. So here we see that the Holy Ghost is not just a power. It's not just an essence of the Father. It's not the combination of the Father and the Son together. But the Holy Ghost can speak and also can command. He's in charge of the work. Not full charge, but he has a charge in the work. He can call people to do a certain work, which means he has a mind that can think, that can contemplate, that can form plans and have them carried out. So we see that the Holy Spirit is a person, a being, not human, of course, but just as holy a being as God the Father is a holy being. Now we know that Jesus became human, so he's not just God, a spirit, but he's also a human being. But the Father's not a human being, he's spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a human being, he's also a spirit, but yet not the spirit of God the Father. Just as he's not the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father is a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. Jesus is a spirit as well as a human being, but Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his own person, his own being, has his own mind, can speak his own words, can form his own plans. And has his part to fulfill in this great work of spreading the gospel. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit's also a comforter. He's also the truth. Not Jesus Christ, who's the truth, but the Spirit of truth. So all that the Holy Spirit does is in accordance with truth, with holiness, righteousness, goodness, purity. And we see that the Spirit told the believers there at Antioch that he wanted Barnabas and Saul to be set aside for the work that he had for them to do. And so now what was the church going to do? Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So it's interesting here. The Holy Spirit had already chosen Barnabas and Saul for the work, but yet the Spirit impressed the members of the church there that they also needed to act in this set apart endeavor. And so they fasted, prayed, and then laid their hands on Saul and Barnabas. In other words, they ordained them. They set them apart for this work. So the Holy Spirit didn't work separately from the church. He worked in harmony and unity with the church. And that's exactly what we're to do. God doesn't choose independent atoms to do his will. He will choose this individual and that individual. The Spirit will impress this individual and that individual. But if there's an organized group of people, then God and the Spirit and Jesus Christ will always work through that group. Never against that group. Because God is not a God of disorder. He is a God of order, organization. So when you have individuals believing that God would have them leave an organized body and go and do their own thing, then that should raise a red flag in your mind and not be so willing to go along with them, but instead to check them out, to verify what they're doing, what their teaching is. So when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul, they sent them away. They had the blessing and cooperation. Question in the room says, are you talking about your church, Elder Rob? Well, I guess it would matter if this church is organized. And it would also matter if individuals were connected with this group and then decided that they wanted to leave this group and go do their own thing independent of this group. Would that be following God's will? Would that be following the principles that we see listed here in Acts 13? Response is, I don't know. Well, that's why you would have to very carefully investigate into why individuals wanted to be separate and work apart from their fellow brothers and sisters that are united and wanting to follow present truth. And if you see that they're not following present truth, that they're following their own ideas of present truth, then they would not be someone to follow in their independent course because they're not following Bible principles. And if you look at the principles brought out here in Acts 13, you have a church at Antioch that had prophets and teachers, that had Barnabas and Simeon called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen. All of these were together as a united body. Now, there was more than just one church. There were other churches, such as in Jerusalem, but this particular one is in Antioch. And you have individuals within Antioch that are impressed by the Holy Spirit to set aside Barnabas and Saul for the particular work God had chosen them to do. So the principles we see here is that the Holy Ghost didn't ordain Barnabas and Saul and just had them go out and do their own thing without the support and agreement of their fellow church members. Do we all see that principle here? I think verse 2 and 3 is very clear. So it wasn't that Barnabas and Saul said, you know, I feel chosen to do this work, and I'm going to do it whether the rest of my brethren want me to do it or not. But we see the Holy Ghost impressing members of the church to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work of evangelism. And when the church members had fasted and prayed and then laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul, in other words, giving them their consent for this work, ordaining them for this work, agreeing with the Holy Spirit's impression on their hearts, then the church sent Barnabas and Saul away. In other words, they gave them their commission. So here we see that the Holy Spirit worked in harmony with the organized body of the church at Antioch to ordain two of their members to go and perform their work. So instead of it being an independent manifestation of Barnabas and Saul saying, you know, I feel the Holy Ghost has impressed me to go and do this, and I'm just going to do it. I don't care what my fellow brothers and sisters may say. I don't even care if the Church of Antioch is in agreement with my work or not. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. We don't see that pictured here. We don't see disorder and chaos taking place. We don't see independent atoms rising up and expected to be recognized by the churches out there without any input from the churches. But we see a uniformity, a willingness for other brothers and sisters to acknowledge their work and ordain them for their work. Now, again, I'm not talking about individuals that have no one else to fellowship with. You have to do what God impresses you to do. But I'm talking about if we're part of a church group, then we're to be united one with another. We're to be in harmony one with another. There's to be a greater participation and activity among the church members to recognize the gifts that God has given to each one of us. And in recognizing those gifts, if it's the gift of preaching, the gift of evangelism, to be willing to fast and pray and agree with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to set those individuals aside, to ordain them for their work. The gifts prove their work to be from God. So instead of an independent spirit, instead of a unsanctified, selfish exaltation, instead of trusting in your own heart, we see more of a willingness to submit to the authority of brothers and sisters in Christ. And to come into order, discipline, and organization under the Holy Spirit's guidance, with Jesus Christ as the head of the church, and with God the Father ruling over all. So this home church here, just like the church at Antioch, should follow those same principles. The church over in Australia or in Canada or in other places here in America or in Africa should follow those same principles of truth. And if we did so, we would come more into harmony and brotherly and sisterly love with one another as Christ desires. Amen. All of the body parts have a work together to perform. They have to work together. And if they work independent, how are you going to be able to walk? If one leg decides to go and do its own thing when the other leg decides to move forward, how are you going to move anything? How are you going to walk forward? It's the same with God's people. There has to be a union of all members together in order for the church to function the way God desires. Amen. And the foundation of our unity is Christ Jesus, who is the truth. Just like every body part follows the directions of the mind, so every member of this church and all other churches of Christ have to follow the commands, the directions of Jesus Christ. And Christ's last prayer in John 17 was that all of his followers may be united together as closely as one, as Christ and the Father are united together as one. And as we want the Holy Spirit to come upon us in rich abundance, that's never going to happen until we come together in unity as one. The disciples did not receive Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit in the early reign, until they had come together as one in accord. Then they received the Holy Ghost. It's the same with us, dear ones. If we're pleading for the Holy Spirit to come upon us in rich abundance, but yet we believe that we're to do our own thing, to follow our own teachings, irregardless of whether our brethren and sisters believe they're right or wrong, irregardless of what our...
Well, I believe that showed unity at the church in Antioch, because when the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost spoke and said to take Barnabas and Saul for the work unto I've called them, then the whole church had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. And so the church was in unity then. And Saul and Barnabas then left.
Amen. Amen. This is indeed a picture of unity here. Unity in action. So now, instead of Barnabas and Saul going off on their own accord, they have the support of the entire church at Antioch. And that means quite a deal, and it makes quite a difference when someone asks you, well, what church do you belong to? Well, I was ordained by my brethren there at the Church of Antioch to go and preach the word of life. And that's why I'm here, to preach the word of life. That makes a difference. Instead of saying, well, you know, I'm here on my own, and I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to give you the truth. I mean, that can still have effect on individuals, but not as much effect as it would have if those individuals understand that you've been part of a group who has all unanimously chosen to send you out. So again, God is a God of order. Satan is a spirit of disorder. And so when individuals come to you that have no connection whatsoever with any group, then you need to be doubly sure that you check out their message and do not so readily embrace it as from God before you do that homework. Because you have to test the spirits, whether they are from God or not. Because there's many deceivers.
Also, I just wanted to say that God is a God of order, and he's very organized. So the fact that the whole church was aware of their mission, they also were aware of any support that they might need, and God was there to supply it through their church.
Amen. That's a very good point. So not only did the church ordain Barnabas and Saul for the work that the Holy Ghost had set them aside for, But their thoughts, their prayers, as well as their support would also go along with Barnabas and Saul and the work. So God knows what he's doing. And he's giving us his word with these principles of truth to follow as a guideline. And also as a discerner of what his will is in these last days.
I was just thinking that that was the job that Jesus had said the Holy Spirit would do. He would guide you into all truth, lead you and teach you all things that you needed to know. And this is exactly what he was doing there at Antioch.
Amen. Amen. And it's exactly what the Holy Spirit will be doing in all of the groups that are connected with God and Jesus Christ. Be leading them to be organized, be leading them to recognize the gifts that the Spirit has given to different individuals. And if those gifts are teaching or preaching, ministering to others, then the church has a responsibility to fast and pray about these individuals and then go with the Spirit's impression on setting them apart or ordaining them to fulfill their responsibilities, to manifest their gifts. And if it's evangelism, to send them out to evangelize, not just try to keep them there to benefit their one little group, but to benefit many other peoples and groups with their gifts of evangelism. Some gifts are best used within a group. Other gifts can best be used within the group and outside the group. It all depends on what gifts the Spirit has given that individual to use. With Barnabas and Saul, it was gifts of evangelism. With Simeon and Niger and Lucius and Manaen, it was perhaps gifts that would be best used within the group or within that community. Especially prophecy. So what gifts has God blessed you with? He will give you the grace and the strength to use those talents to benefit one another as well as the cause of God. So praise his name for trusting us with gifts, whether it's just one talent or many. And praise him for the grace and the strength to use our gifts to his glory and to benefit one another. And may we do so. Are there any other thoughts or comments or questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
I just wanted to say quickly, this is kind of a long story, but when you feel impressed by the Holy Spirit, and you've tested the Spirit, it usually involves helping someone else. It reminds me of a time when the church sent us over to visit one of the church members that was in a nursing home. And they asked us to take the church flowers over to her. And we said, okay, we'll do that. While we were over there visiting her, I asked her, what is it you miss the most about the church service? And she said, I miss singing the hymns. And this thought flashed through my mind, oh, okay. And I said to her, you know, I have a ukulele at home. I can play some church hymns on it. We can go home and get the, and then come back and sing to you. And would you like that? And she said, oh, yes, please do. And so my husband and I went, we were not that far from the nursing home, went home, picked up the ukulele, and went back to her room, and we're singing the good old church songs like, In the Garden and By the River and Shall We Gather at the River, and she was just radiant with, she just loved it so much. And while we were singing, a nurse came to the door of the room and said, there's another lady down the hall that would like to, if you would come and sing to her, can you do that? And we said, well, sure. And so we did. We went to several rooms by request and singing the hymns, and it was a wonderful experience. I'm sure the angels were singing with us, because I don't think my voice is operatic, but it's passable. I do stay on key. Anyway, from that, the singing group was formed of teenagers, and we made it a regular thing to go to this particular nursing home. And later on, we went all over putting on a program and singing. And this was not something that we dreamed up. This is something that the Holy Spirit led us in this endeavor. And it not only helped us, but it helped other people.
Amen, dear sister. And in recognizing that you brought joy to another individual, that also brings joy to you. I remember a neighbor joined with my wife in passing out food to unsuspecting individuals that were poor. And what they would do is they would go out with a basket of food that had been purchased and put together and put it on the doorstep of a home in need and knock on the door and then run away. And that way the individuals would not be embarrassed so much, and, you know, would not be, their pride would not be hurt, but they'd see this gift basket there on the porch and realize it was for them. And after doing so, the neighbor commented to my wife and said, you know, I feel so good on what we did. I haven't felt this good before. And there is a joy, a internal joy that comes from helping others that you just can't find in any artificial way. You know, you can watch something on TV and feel great about it, or you can, you know, play a game and pass it and feel joyous that you finally passed it. But that's an artificial joy. And it doesn't compare in the slightest to the joy that you can gain from helping others. So when you saw the people you were singing to happy and grateful, and even watch them sing along, that brought a joy to your heart that nothing else could have done without that personal involvement. So amen, dear sister. And you know that there was lasting feelings of happiness with the individuals that you sang to.
I just wanted to add, doing God's will also is a, and the joy that it brings also gets rid of pain. I remember one Sabbath I had a horrible, horrible migraine headache. It was terrible. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the nursing home anyway because I can't let the group of singers down. I can't let the people down, and I'm just going to put myself out there. And that's all I thought about. And the whole time that we were there with the people in the nursing home, I did not feel one bit of pain, not at all. And I was thinking about it when I got in the car to go home. Oh, my headache's gone. Wow, thank you, Lord. And just about the time I got through saying that, bang, the pain came back. So I knew that God was giving me the strength and the perseverance to go on. My pain was gone because I was doing his work. And
amen indeed. And Sister White writes of several instances in which she was deathly ill, but she went forward with the meeting in faith, sometimes even being brought up on stage in a bed. I mean, if that's not acting on faith, I don't know what is. But as soon as she started speaking, God empowered her, and she was able to carry forward the meeting without any problems. So, you know, that's definitely, well, I can't say stepping out in faith, but carrying forward in faith. That's, and, you know, all things are possible through faith in God and his ability to help deliver from the circumstances and bring glory to his name. Let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to pray, please feel free, and I'll go ahead and start. So let us please bow our heads and our knees. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love. Thank you for being in control of thy great work and that we are one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Thank you for being with us tonight and for sending your Spirit to be with us. And thank you, Spirit, for opening our understanding and allowing us to see a little more of the work that you do in this great cause and spreading of the truth as it is in Jesus. I pray that you will continue to work upon our hearts and to bring us in oneness and unity with one another, that we will not exalt ourselves, but be willing to humble ourselves and to recognize that we're part of a body and that we are not individually that body, that we are not in control, but Christ is in control. And that we do not work the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is to work us. Forgive us for our pride and self-sufficiency and help us to be in a position of humbly asking for help and guidance and for grace to fulfill the responsibilities of the talents and gifts that you have distributed to us, to edify one another with, to help and encourage one another, to minister to one another, as well as to encourage one another in this great cause and in this church family. Dear Savior, we thank you for continuing to dispel darkness in our hearts, and please continue to aid us in looking upward and beholding thee, that we might be more and more changed into the perfect righteous image that you reveal, and fill our hearts with your love, that we may truly love one another as we should, and love you supremely. I pray that you'll be with Brother Caret and help him to recognize the present truth, open his heart and understanding to comprehend, and not just to cast away because it may not agree with what he has been taught or believes, but may compare it with the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, and allow your word to correct and instruct him in righteousness, and give him the grace and the courage, as well as the strength, to follow what he knows to be true, regardless of the cost. Please also continue to be with Diane and help her to hold fast to Jesus and the truth, and not let him go. And help her to be a witness to those that are trying to get her to change her mind or to mislead her back into custom and tradition. And help her to be a means of opening their eyes, that they may be pulled away from the teachings of the elders and brought into the teachings of God's inspired word. And thank you for doing so. We also pray that you'll be with Raleigh and please aid her in health, both physically and spiritually, and bless the efforts of our dear sister Lucy to aid her in this recovering of her health. And thank you so much, dear Savior, for loving her and being her great physician. We also pray for Brother Enosi, that you will bless his stepping out in faith and let him do a great work that will be cut short in righteousness there among his precious Fijian people. We pray for all of those who have asked for prayers or who we have said we would pray for them. And thank you so much for hearing and answering these prayers according to thy perfect will and in thy perfect timing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we are counted worthy to be in your family. We ask that you will bring to our minds those requests that others have made, that we can be a part of, remembering their requests for prayers and speaking the kind word whenever we can, and looking on the bright side, complimenting sincerely those talents which we see in our brothers and sisters. We thank you, God, that you have knocked down the wall of partition, that sinners can have access to you for forgiveness and for that special joy that knows that we're forgiven. Help us to be so comfortable with you, dear Lord, that we can rest in the love that we feel from you and to even venture some time to have that much relaxation that we can laugh together over, find the humor in things. We know that you found humor in things. Help us to be able to share that with you and not feel like we're so unworthy that we can't even smile in your presence. Show us what to do every day and answer the, help us to know that you have answered the thoughts, even if they're not spoken, that we have, that we know about others. Help them to feel that they are in your family. We ask that you will help with Sister Lucy's sound so that we may hear her speak. She's very important to us. And everyone is, especially close in this room. It's such an unbelievable thing to be able to speak and listen to people that are thousands of miles away and know that you're right there in the middle of us. Help us with our health problems. Help us to say no to the things that would weaken our immune system, because there's a lot of grievous bugs out there and it's pretty hard to work when you're not feeling that good. So help us, Lord, to follow your rules as far as the healthful things to eat, the healthful things to do, drinking enough water, all of those things that you've given us counsel on. And thank you, dear Lord, for wanting us to be part of your family, because we want to be there too. And we ask these things in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just second what Sister Joan was just sharing. It is fantastic that this wonderful, extraordinary technology to be able to communicate in an instant, thousands of miles away. It's just, we're so glad. I mean, the work that's been made possible. I myself have been brought to the present truth through ministries online that I'm not sure what you would have used. I'm sure you would have used something else. And we pray for those, because at least about half the population on this world don't have access to the internet. For more than one reason, usually because of the poorness of the country that they preside in, that you indeed will continue to send your Holy Spirit to reach out to them, to speak to their heart and mind and allow the Bible to be in their language so they can easily read it and know what they're, know something of your character by reading it. Spirit, if you're there, they will know it. They will understand it, and they'll know that they have to make a decision. And thank you that this work, this same work's been going on ever since the fall of man. We also want to uphold Sister Amita and her difficulties of the recent accident last week that dear Brother Willington shared with us, that she would continue to hold her up, and with the financial issue that is no doubt ensuing because of it, and that the dear person that's leg was broken. Thank you that hospital care was made available, and we hope that her leg sets just right so she can be back up on her feet, or he can be back up on his feet. And but something very good will come out of this, and please inspire Sister Amita's faith that something will, and it'll be even better than if this hadn't have happened. I mean, Lord, the whole plan of salvation, we're told that the Garden of Eden, when restored, will be more beautiful than it was when it was first given to Adam and Eve. And that's kind of hard to understand, but that would describe your character toward the erring. Christ never prayed for his sins to be forgiven. He had none to be forgiven of. He never had to offer a sacrifice because he would be denying him as the sacrifice for sin for the whole world. But he did pray for his enemies, and he did pray for us. And we've all been enemies, but wonderful of love now, a depth of love. We know the angels can't understand it, the unfallen angels and the holy beings who haven't fallen throughout the universe. And that is being your enemies and then becoming your children because of your mercies. And we don't ask anything because we have anything to offer, but because of your great mercies. We're seeking your help, your guidance, your strength, and the unity of the faith that was once revealed in this world to such an extent that we are told prophetically will be even more so now because of the greater darkness now that exists than even in apostolic times. The sheer amount of dear precious souls that live on this planet, of whom I'm one. We also uphold Barry, the dear ex-SDA, our brother Dick shared with us, a dear friend of his, that we hope he sees that there is real joy awaiting him in coming back to the faith. Of SDA in heart, meaning the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, and by digging and considering what he's given up, that it's his privilege to not only go back to the Word and trust, but also be elevated on a higher platform of understanding of truth that he'd never had while he was connected to an apostate church. And we couldn't possibly expect to have while we're doing that, because that's not the original Seventh-day Adventist faith. We uphold individuals that find it very hard to want to unite with brothers and sisters, even though they only be, you know, in the same township. Or maybe they're just down the road. Maybe they're even our neighbour, right next door. That we would pursue a right course before them to help them see we don't want their money, we don't want to take anything of theirs. But what we do want is what we know Jesus wants of us, and that is our whole life. A whole sacrifice, regularly, daily, that lightens the burden of our life by us giving up our sins so that we can have a light life, a life that's yoked up with Christ, who can cause us to bear the burdens of life with joy and not with grudging and complaining. I also want to thank you for the privilege of hearing Sister Joan's experience. I think she said she was with her husband in witnessing to a nursing home to two dear ladies. Thank you very much for that. That buoys our hope when we hear testimonies of how you move in various ways, at various avenues and at different times, even very unexpected. Thank you that present truth literature and present truth can be preached in so many ways, including song. And please help our dear brother Josh. I don't know when he's planning to go to that park again, but you know when and how. With that dear young lady that's given him a few issues, that he would be braced for Christian duty, should he be in the vicinity, and she be tempted to say a harsh word, do a harsh thing even, that he would set a fantastic example as, from a Christian point of view, that you give him the power to treat her as a younger sister of the family she doesn't even know she's adopted into yet until she meets Jesus, the covenant maker, the one of the new covenant who has the power to make us sons and daughters of God right to the end of our life. Where we can finally say, walking into the city of God, we are saved, eternally saved. I also want to uphold in thanksgiving that Sister Lucy is out of hospital and ask that if there is any issue that is not found out, or not thoroughly looked into regarding this issue, that someone, somewhere, somehow, answers would be forthcoming, that we might act on it and promptly. Thank you for doing this and much more. We love you and ask for the Holy Spirit to continue to guide us into more present truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And amen. Amen indeed. Are there any songs, any other testimonies, any questions or comments that you'd like to share before we close tonight? Please go right ahead.
I'm just thinking of this song we used to sing in Cradle Roll. I'm going to run, 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 run to meet my Jesus. I'm going to run, 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 run to meet my Jesus. I'm going to run, 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 run to meet my Jesus. When he comes, yes, when he comes, every eye shall see, look upon him. Every eye shall look upon him. Every eye shall look upon him when he comes, yes, when he comes. Every knee shall bow before him. Every knee shall bow before him. Every knee shall bow before him. When he comes, yes, when he comes.
Amen. And imagine running to be with Jesus and then being caught off the earth and to forevermore be with him. What a day that will be. Well, this song comes to mind. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my soul. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. Hold on forever.
I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansions for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Thank you, dear Savior. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Have a wonderful remaining evening or rest of the day. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you in just a couple days from now. Until then, keep looking up, keep growing in grace. And thank you for being my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Good night, dear ones.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.